By the way, today I'm feeling extremely error prone.
So I made a number of extra copies. If you spot a real mistake that I make, you get a copy of the notes. I have like five or six here that you might win.
You should just pay more to checks instead.
Well, if I run through this, I'll do a shove it. All right, so today's about integration by parts, which is an integration of these. So here's a couple of principles. And probably right now, you don't easily know how to do each of these integrals. But within about 40 minutes, you will. So that's the goal of the class. To go from not knowing how to compute these to knowing how to compute them. That's the goal today. And the method that I'll show you in each case, which has all kinds of different subtleties, again, it's called integration by parts. So you remember that we had substitution, that had an analog in differentiation. So in differentiation, there's the chain rule, and the analog of that in integration is substitution. Which, as you saw in several cases, could be an extremely powerful technique for taking an integral that seems hard and making it into something that's easier. Another technique or thing that you do when you differentiate functions is that you have the product rule. And just like for the chain rule, there's an analog of the product rule that helps you with integration. It's actually really, really simple to derive this analog, much simpler even than the substitution rule. But this analog called integration by parts is really, really powerful. And for example, it makes these integrals fairly easy if you use it correctly. So this is called integration by parts. Now, here's how it works. It's easy to derive integration by parts. Just note the following. What does the product rule say? It says, if you have two functions, f and g, you know, continuous on an interval, but I won't worry about that, then the derivative of their product is given by the following formula. G dx of the product is f prime of x, g of x, plus f of x, g prime of x. So these two are equal. Now, you have an equality of two things, two functions, and you can integrate both sides and get something that's an equality up to constants. So if you integrate the left-hand side, or the top in this, the way I've drawn this, you get f of x, g of x. I'm just integrating the left-hand side. And if you integrate this on the right-hand side, you get, not worrying about constants, integral of f prime of x, g of x, dx, plus integral of f of x, g prime of x, dx. Okay? All I did was integrate both sides. Now, the neat thing is you now have a method for taking an integral of, in sort of one form, and transforming it into an integral in another form, possibly at the expense of adding on something else. So I haven't done very much yet. All I've done is taken this equality and integrated both sides. Now I'll turn it into a method for integrating. So here's what you do. So rewrite this as, write it this way.
Write it as integral f of x, g prime of x, dx is equal to, just subtracting the other integral from both sides, f of x, g of x, minus integral g of x, f prime of x, dx. I just wrote it in that order so it's f prime of x dx, which will turn out to be nice in a second. So that's it. If you have an integral f of x g prime of x, then you can replace it by something. If you can integrate this, you can replace it by this product minus this other integral.
And it could be that this other integral is way, way easier to compute than the first one. Now, I'll give you some nice notation that makes it easy to do what I just described without having to think very hard at all.
So here's the new notation. Let's let u equal f of x, and then du is f prime of x dx, and let v equal dv equal g prime of x dx, and then v should be g of x. Okay, so this is just a little bit of notation. I'm letting u and v be f of x and g of x, and then then computing du and dv. They're just the derivatives. Okay? And now, let's just replace this formula at the top by a formula involving only u and v. So using this notation, this becomes integral, so it goes like this, u dv is equal to u times v minus integral v du. And that's integration by parts. It says that if you have a function, it's some product of two things, and you want to integrate it, well, you choose one of the functions, you kind of break it up as a u times a dv, a function times a derivative of something else. You let one of the functions be u, and let the other part be dv, and then you have this formula, integral u dv is equal to uv minus integral v du. But it's really, just from what I've told you, it's really hard to get a sense of how you would use this or what it could be good for without seeing a lot of clear examples that illustrate each of the different subtleties of applying this. All I've done so far is just showed you some abstract relationship between various integrals. The rest of the class is simply going to be doing these integrals, explicit examples. These are a really good choice of examples because they illustrate everything. So the first example, let's compute integral of x cosine of x dx. And we're going to use integration by parts. So what we'll do is we just have to fill in the blanks here, and then we have this formula. So we're going to get that this is equal to something minus some integral. And we have to choose a u, and a v, dv, and du. And we got that u times dv is this. So, you have a little bit of choice now. You have to somehow break up what you're integrating as a product of u times dv, as a product of something times the derivative of something. And there's different ways in which you could do that. Here, for example, you could have the u be x, and the dv be cosine of x dx. Or you could have the u be cosine of x, and the dv could be x dx. So you fill in these two blanks, the diagonal blanks. You fill in what u is and what dv is. Now notice that once you choose dv, we're just a little piece of this, then you're going to have to integrate it to get v. So whatever you choose for dv, make it easy to integrate. Hopefully the integral of whatever you chose for dv, the corresponding v, will be somehow simpler, because in a minute you're going to have to integrate that, so you want it to be simpler. So of the two things sitting here, x and cosine of x, which has a simpler looking integral? Cosine of x is probably simpler because it's just sine of x. So we'll put cosine of x dx here, and then put sine of x here. And notice that the derivative of sine is cosine. And now what do we have to put for u? Once you've made one choice, you have the others determined, because the product of these have to be the thing inside.
X.
X, good.
And then what's du? Yes. Okay, and now we just plug everything in. This is u times v, x sine x, minus v du, sine x dx. So how are we doing? Is this good or bad? I've just shown that this integral is exactly the same as this one over here, as this expression over here. So is this good or bad?
Good.
It's really good, because you know how to integrate sine of x. Moving along, this is x sine x minus, what is an antiderivative of sine of x? Minus cosine. So put a minus cosine of x here, plus the constant. And so you can cancel the signs and you end up with x sine of x plus cosine of x plus a constant. So again, yes?
Can we do something different u's and du's?
You can choose any, you can make any choice for absolutely any choice at all you want for u and dv.
So we could make dx.
But it has to be the case that the product of these two is what's inside. You can make any choice you want, absolutely anything in the universe. The only thing, and you'll get a true statement. The only thing is you might get a hideously difficult integral over here if you make a bad choice. And the strategy is to always choose in such a way that this gets simpler. You choose your u so its derivative is simpler, and you choose your dv so its integral is hopefully simpler. Okay, so what choice were you thinking about?
Well, I was just thinking,
for example, let's try it. Okay, let's see what happens if instead we make the other choice. So I'm going to rewrite the above, but choosing in the opposite way. Instead, I'm going to choose u to be cosine of x, then du is minus sine of x dx. And over here, dv, see, once you choose u, dv is determined. It has to be x dx. And then v is 1 half x squared dx, because you get it by integration. Now, it's true that that integral right there, integral of x cosine of x dx, this is equal to u times v, 1 half x squared cosine of x, minus integral the other way, so minus sine of x times 1 half x squared dx. So that's true, but it's not much better. In fact, it's a lot worse. Okay? But if you had tried that first, and you have a piece of scratch paper that you're working on, and then you tried the other one, nobody would know that you did this one. So you could just try both of them if you have enough time. Okay, any other questions? Now, that's not all there is to it. Each of the integrals I have over there are going to require a little bit of an idea beyond just you try one or the other. Okay? So there are a couple of other neat things that can happen. So let's go to the next one. Yes, please.
Why is there a dx in front of the v? Or after the 1 half x squared v?
Ha! You're right. There should not be one. This is just your function. Now you're the proud winner of a set of notes.
Congratulations. I wrestled with you. It's a good toxicity. All right, on to the next one. So sine inverse dx. So how can you deal with that?
It looks pretty bad.
And it looks particularly bad because there's only one function here. With these other examples, with the first example, there was a product of two functions. What are you going to do here? There's only one function.
Well, I mean, you could choose
your dv to be sine inverse of x dx and u equal to 1, but then you have to integrate it in order to find v, and you're exactly where you started.
So you're definitely not going to do that.
So what are you going to do?
fill in the blanks here, especially right here. Well, you can write sine inverse of x as 1 times sine inverse of x. But we'll make the 1 be this here, since at least we can integrate 1, and that's x. Just x. And here I'll put u to be sine inverse of x. And then the derivative of sine inverse of x, the derivative of arc sine,
I don't remember. It's 1 over square root of 1 minus x squared.
Yes?
You need the dx after 1, right?
Right here? Over here?
Yeah.
Dx. You are right.
Ding the dx is for me.
Do you want to give it to anyone? He wants it. What's your question? What's your question?
Is there any point to adding something that isn't in the original expression as a rather bad example? You could have u be sine by arc sine of x log of x, and dv be dx over log of x. But is there any point to doing it?
Probably yes. I don't know an example off the top of my head. But his question is, you could replace your function sine inverse of x by sine inverse of x divided by log of x times log of x. And it might be that log of x and that quotient, each of those have the right property to use integration by parts. There's probably an example like that, but I don't have one off the top of my head. I could definitely imagine there being an application of that idea.
Okay, so
the first step is done. Now, let's just plug into the integration by parts formula that's right in the middle of the board, and which will remain there for the rest of the lecture, and see what we get. Okay, so this is equal to u times v, x sine inverse of x, minus integral of v du. So that's x dx over square root of 1 minus x squared. So that might look a little scary, but using substitution, you can deal with this. Okay. Because that x squared, you just do a substitution with u equal 1 minus x squared. So, so that's the substitution I did in my bits. This example is also nice because it illustrates that you have to use, in some cases, potentially two different integration techniques. So I got here just by using this, but I'm not done. I have this function minus this, now you have to deal with this one. So here you have x sine inverse of x minus this integral, but I'm going to do a substitution, u equals 1 minus x squared, where this u has nothing to do with the other one, so I'll call it w. And then dw is minus 2x dx. That's not clear enough. Okay, so with that substitution, just to make it a little simpler, I'll write this as minus 1/2 dw is equal to x dx. Just dividing both sides by minus 2. And then where I have an x dx here, I can put minus 1/2 dw. And then that's divided by square root of 1 minus x squared, which is square root of w. And now your business, that's w to the power of minus 1/2, and that's something you can integrate just using the power rule. Okay, so it's x sine inverse of x plus 1/2
integral w inverse, or w to the minus 1 half dw. X sine inverse of x plus 1 half, and then this is w to the power 1 half, and increase the exponent by 1, and then compensate it like that. And of course, at this point, or in a second, we're going to substitute x back in for the value for x back in. It's 1 fourth, and then the w is 1 minus x squared. And this is, there's a square root here. That's what 1 half is. Again, let me check with my notes.
Don't you use the reciprocal of the power rule for the multiplier?
Yeah, so this should be 2. But the other thing that worries me is that sine seems to be different than in my notes. Oh, no, it's fine. It's just that... Yeah, okay, it's fine. So this is right. Larry, give you notes?
Yes. No.
No. Still some left. All right, so that's it. There it is. There's a function, and then the word,
let's see.
That's the answer. Oh, let's see.
What are the yellow stains?
What?
What are all the yellow stains on the notes?
Chalk. See my hands? Covered in chalk. Alright, so that's it. There it is. That is the antiderivative of sine inverse of x. So you see how you do it. It's tricky. You have to choose a u and a dv, do integration by parts, and then use a substitution. But it works. I mean, that's everything. You know how to do it. Now let's do one more. And this one illustrates another technique that it's quite, well, it's kind of interesting. So, let's see. So let's try to compute the integral of x squared times e to the x dx. I put this upside down. Make a choice of u and dv, so the product is x squared e to the x dx. You want to do this in such a way that the dv, the thing you integrate, is easy to integrate, and hopefully not more complicated. It's kind of natural what choice you might make in this case. Any ideas?
E to the x.
E to the x, yeah, that's the easy one here, e to the x dx. Because then the v is just e to the x. Now what about u? Well, that's now determined. It has to be x squared. And then you're really happy because the x squared gets simpler when you differentiate it to 2x dx. Okay? And now, use the formula that's right here at the bottom of the board. This integral is u times v x squared e to the x minus integral v du. So that's 2x e to the x dx. But it's kind of annoying because you might not know how to integrate x e to the x. And that doesn't seem much better than what we started with. So is this any better? Have we made any progress? Well, it's twice as big now, though. But you could do another one. Yeah. Because notice the x squared is now an x. The degree went down by 1,
And you might have a feeling that if you were to do this process again, it would go down one more time. And then you're just left with integrating e to the x, and you know how to do that. And that's the right thing to do. You can compute this, but you do integration by parts twice. So let's come over here and do integration by parts twice. So now all you have to do is compute integral x e to the x dx. It's another integration by parts problem. So what do you want to choose for b? E to the x. Oops, again I wrote it upside down. For b, e to the x dx. And then b is e to the x, and u, it has to be x, then du, it's really nice, it's just dx. So this becomes u times e, x e to the x, minus integral v du, e to the x dx. And I get really excited because you know what integral of x, what integral of e to the x dx is. So. So this is x e to the x minus e to the x plus a constant. Now you can just put that back over here to get the final answer. So this is equal, the whole thing is equal to x squared e to the x minus what's listed over there, so minus x e to the x plus... Oh, the 2, thank you. Plus 2, now it's, let's see, minus 2 x e to the x, okay, plus 2 e to the x plus the constant. It's a different constant, but it is a thing. So there you are, that's the answer at the end. And you could factor out the e to the x if you want, but it certainly isn't necessary. So you could also write this as e to the x, x squared minus 2x. Minus 2 plus a constant. Okay, questions? Plus 2. Okay. Is anybody else? Who made the comment about the sign of 2?
Yeah, right here.
Oh. All right, so we're almost there. We've done most of the integrals over there. Got the answer? Yay? Actually, we've done all of them up here. There's one more that I didn't put up there that illustrates a really clever trick. So this is the kind of grand finale trick. So it's e to the x cosine of x. How do you integrate that? So again, it's something where, imagine you didn't know about integration by parts, what would you do? You try various substitutions, but somehow e to the x and cosine of x, it's not clear at least how to connect the two. Okay, well, we talked a lot about complex numbers last time, and we need to do something now. But we didn't talk about integrating complex functions. So instead, use integration by parts. It sort of jumps out at you. A product of two functions, they're not too complicated individually. Integration by parts is going to allow you to get another integral that might be easier. Though it's a little worrisome, because the strategy with integration by parts is that you choose a u, so its derivative is a little bit simpler, and you choose a dv, its integral is much harder. And the problem here is that things aren't going to get any simpler. If you differentiate e to the x, it's still e to the x. If you differentiate cosine, they get minus sine, but it's still sort of the same type of function. Things don't simplify very much when you differentiate or integrate either of the factors here. Nonetheless, there's a trick that you can use that will do it. So let's see what happens. So we're going to choose a u and a v. And, or a u and a dv, And let's just choose them so it's really easy to figure out what v is.
Yes.
So we'll make this one e to the x dx. So this is e to the x. And then u has to be cosine of x. And then du is minus sine of x dx. And now plug it in and see what happens. It's going to take a lot of space, so I'll go all the way over to the other side of the board. So the integral, we're considering integral e to the x cosine of x dx is equal to u times v, and remember I chose u cosine x v e to the x. Well, right. Minus sine of x e to the x dx. So I'll put plus e to the x sine of x dx. So is this good? Have we made any progress at all? Seems very frustrating. We haven't made any progress.
Yeah, I like circular reasoning.
What?
Yeah, I like circles.
Yeah, you like circles? Let's just, well, you can't really think of anything else to do probably besides integration by parts, so let's just do it again and see what happens. So I'll let u be, do the same thing, let u be sine of x because I want the integration to be really, really easy. Du is cosine of x dx. V, e to the x. Dv, e to the x dx. And that is, work. This is the right setup. So here, this is equal to just doing integration by parts again. I'm curious to see what will happen. This is e to the x sine of x minus, and here it gets really weird, e to the x cosine dx. So now we're really back where we started. Okay, so should we give up in frustration?
Yeah.
Or, but again, integration by parts again.
No.
Is that going to help? We're just going to get another. We know exactly what will happen if we do it again. We get another e to the x cos x, actually canceling out with the one we had. And the sign. We'll end up with the same thing again and again. You have an idea in the back?
Oh.
Where your hand's just. Well, you're awake now. You have an idea on what?
That's equal to the original equation, right? So can you just add it over and you get x plus an x?
That's a really good idea. He observes that this thing right here is equal to the thing we started with. We have an equality. Integral of e to the x cosine of x dx is equal to this plus this minus integral e to the x cosine of x dx. So just solve for integral e to the x dx. We have an equation that involves the integral we want to find and some other functions that are not integrals. So it's really nice. So look, we add e to the x cosine of x dx to both sides, and you get amazingly 2 e to the x cosine of x dx is equal to e to the x cosine of x plus e to the x sine of x. I'm going to put a constant there. And now, are you any closer to computing the integral of e to the x cosine of x dx?
Yeah. Divided by 2.
Divided by 2 and you get it. Excellent. Integral e to the x cosine of x dx is equal to 1 half cosine of x plus sine of x plus a constant. And check that that's what I get in my notes. Okay. So that's really nice. We started with integral e to the x cosine of x dx. We did integration by parts. We got something bigger that didn't look any better. We did integration by parts one more time, and we ended up getting back to the original thing. And that was good, because then we basically have the original thing, a bunch of stuff along the way that are functions we know, and the original thing, so then we can solve for the thing that we're after.
This can happen in all kinds of contexts where
the functions involved, their integrals and their derivatives are sort of periodic. You differentiate twice and you get back some multiple of the thing you started with. Okay, so integration by parts at its core, it's simply this formula, but you have to know some examples and applications of it in order to use it. Like here you have to, you'll see this over and over again, this is a trick. You do integration by parts twice, get back the original thing, and then solve. Another trick was, are you asking a question now?
Yeah.
Okay. I never know.
So what if you kept going with parts, and then wouldn't you get back to the original thing, but then you would have more expanded expression, and wouldn't that be the
You get cancellation. So right here, if you do it with integration of parts here, you know what you're going to get? You're going to get this. There's a minus sign, so you'll get a minus e to the x cosine of x. That cancels this one. So, I can write it for you. So it's... those two will cancel and get e to the x sine of x minus integral e to the x sine of x dx. I'll play with it. Yeah, I think that's what you get. All I'm doing is taking this formula, replacing this by this. And the cosine factors cancel. You still have the ax sine of x, and you still have this integral. So it's actually it's kind of interesting that integral of e to the x cosine x is equal to e to the x sine x minus integral e to the x sine x. So,
one more time,
it all
cancels out on the left
with e to the x cosine of x. Okay, one more time. E to the x sine of x minus, now we know what happens when we apply integration by parts to e to the x sine of x dx, since that's what we have here. So this cancels out, and signs change, and you end up getting the amazing equality integral e to the x cos x equals integral e to the x cos x dx. Okay, so does that answer your question? That's what happens. All right, so there are 7 minutes left, and I've finished what I wanted to tell you about integration by parts. Unless, do you have a question?
What if you have what's called the limit?
Just at the end when you have this, the limits are, you put the limits in. So if this is from 0 to 1, here, 0 to 1, 0 to 1, etc. Or you can think you're just finding an antiderivative here, and you can use that with the original limits. Okay. All right, so to finish, I do have the graded exams here in alphabetical order. If you want to pick up your exam, you can come and see me right now. The average was 19.68 out of 30. For grading questions and so on, you can talk to Dan if there were any mistakes. Now, unfortunately, I suddenly forgot every single person's name. So maybe you can help me. Just tell me your last name. There you are.
That's not
it.
That one.
Ah, okay.
Yala.
E-A-L-A.
E-A-L-A?
Trin, T-R-I-N-H.
Of course, know that you can drop this grade.
Don't C-H-U-N.
If you need to. What is it?
C-H-U-N.
C-H-U-N. Mine here, I'm C-H-I-N. Yeah, go ahead.
What was that?
Henry Chong?
19.4.
19.68. Long Chong? Wing? This one?
No. Wait. Here. You can.
That's mine right there.
Wait, I give you two. So, again, it's out of 34 points, and the sum isn't really... Okay, what's your name?
Is it average a B, or is it a C?
This one? Yes. The letter grade has been assigned to the average, but that should give you some sense. You did better than the average, that's better than nothing, but there's nothing, we haven't met to decide on what the meaning of the grade is beyond them telling you the average in this class. Yes?
IE
double R.
Okay, FIE.
Zero. Five. Oh. Wait, what?
LY.
There's a lot of else. Wait, there's like three different. Really?
No, L I.
Wait. Oh. Okay. Okay.
Kim.
Thomas.
He got switched. We didn't do it.
Yes.
Smith.
What's your first name?
Michelle.
Oh, here it is. It's just the M comes before O and Yelp. Yes? B.
It was out of how many?
34 points.
Vicky, you still won't get me to
give
you
that.
There's three of these. Yes. Wing? Patrick Wing?
Phillips?
What was the mean score on the quiz one?
Whoa, I've never seen. Actually, people did pretty well on the quiz on the first quiz.
Schomer?
What is it?
Schomer, S-C-H.
Schomer.
Well,
Jesse
and I decided we wanted to have the
Schomer. Wait, what is it?
KDM.
KDM.
These two parts are the same.
Yep.
L. Yeah.
L.
B.
There it is.
It's the same.
So the average was 19.7.
Yeah, 19.7.
For 6 minutes, 3.
Highest.
Perfect. Okay, I got everything. Stefan got everything. There's only one. I'm not gonna
tell. 27. That would be an A.
I don't know. But it's definitely a lot better than average. Because the average was 19.6. Yeah, here.
What is it?
We're not in deep trouble if